If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Mark chapter 4. We're going to look into God's Word today. And we are going to look at why we are afraid and how to get victory over fear. We are in a year-long series on all the questions that God asks us, and also Jesus in the Old and the New Testament. So we're about halfway through, and we're looking at this question today that Jesus asked us, and basically says, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? We're going to look at this story in Mark chapter 4. It's a common story, and you've heard it many times, but I'm believing that God's going to show us some new things about how we can overcome fear and live in faith. And if you want to live by faith today, let me hear a big amen.
Amen.
All right, so the Bible says when evening came, he said to his disciples, circle that word disciples in your Bible, Mark chapter 4, word verse 35, disciples. Let us go over to the other side, and leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was. In the boat, there were also other boats with them. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we're about to drown?" He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, peace be still." And the wind died down and it was completely calm. And then he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Then they were terrified and they asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." I can relate to this story. I've been in a few storms. When I was about 10 years old, my dad came to me, Pastor Jim, on a Saturday night, and he says, "Scott, we're not going to church tomorrow morning. We're going fishing." Now, I was in absolute shock. Because, and my cousin Valerie's here today, we grew up every Sunday morning going to church, every Sunday night going to church, and Wednesday night. I was 12 years old, and I had never missed a Sunday, and my dad told me, "We're not going to church, we're going fishing." And I was excited about going fishing. I was not very excited about having to face grandma and telling grandma why we didn't go to church on Sunday. And he told me, "Don't tell grandma." So we went fishing Cape Canaveral. We went out about 2 or 3 hours, and I was really excited. And we got out there, and just as we got to the fishing hole, a big storm brewed up. And literally, we were never even able to get our hooks in the water. The captain said, "We got to turn around and go back. This is a bad storm." My dad told me, and I'm thinking the whole time, yeah, this is what happens when you go fishing on Sunday. You know. So he said, "It's going to get bad. Hang on. Scott, get on the floor." And I mean, it rained and it poured and the wind was crazy and it was very, very scary. My dad said, "Scott, hang on for your dear life." And so for hours, I was hanging on. I was so grateful for the guy who was driving the boat because as I was down on the lower deck and I was hanging on, I was hanging on to his leg, and it kind of felt funny there at first. I thought, this is really, really good. And I realized he had a wooden leg. Now I'm thinking, wood floats. And if his boat is going down, I'm hanging on with my dear life, and for 3 hours, I held on to that guy's wooden leg, fighting the wind and the rain and the squalls. It was terrible, and I was filled with fear. And I said to myself, "I will never go fishing on a Sunday morning ever again. God will not bless you if you go fishing on a Sunday. Ask Pastor Scott." I think the disciples kind of related to my story, and I relate to their story. A couple things I want you to notice in this verse of scripture, and I'm going to give you some points that I think are going to help you. Number one, I want you to notice that Jesus told his disciples to get in the boat with them. He didn't ask the crowd. He asked his disciples. And I believe that all of us, we are on a journey to become disciples of Christ. And many times, disciples go through things that people in the crowd just don't go through. And I think we all need to just prepare our hearts and prepare our lives to expect that if you're going to follow Jesus, there will be waves. There will be storms. There will be heartache. He's going to ask disciples to do things that he wouldn't ask the crowd to do. He didn't ask the whole crowd to get in the boat. He told his disciples to get in the boat. And disciples have got to be willing, no matter what the cost, to be with Jesus. Number two, a couple other things I want you to notice. I want you to notice that Jesus promised them, we are going to the other side. See, that's a promise. And I've got some really good news for you. You may face waves in your life. Life might be tough right now. You may be going through it. You may be hanging on to a wooden leg, and you're fearful, and you're afraid, and you're wondering what's going on. But God's promise to us is this. We are going to go to the other side. God is going to complete the work that he started in you, and you are going to get to the other side. Many times when we go through difficulties, we go through pain, we go through sorrow, we got to hang on to the promise that we are going to get to the other side. It may not look like we think it's going to look. We may not experience the way we think it needs to experience, but we're going to get to the other side. And the other third thing I want you to notice is that Jesus is always with you. See, he was in the boat and he was sleeping, but the Bible says that God never sleeps. He's awake. He's alert. He's with you. You may be panicked. You may be afraid. You may be freaking out. But the promise that God gives us is you're going to get to the other side. And number three, you always need to remember that God is always with you. There's people here today that are faced with tremendous fears. And at the end of the service, I'm going to pray for people that are faced with fear. I was 57 years old before I ever faced real fear. I lived a charmed life. I mean, life wasn't perfect, but I really never had faced fear until something happened to our family in September 2019. And I believe for the very first time in my life, 57 years old, a spirit of fear came into my life. It's a spirit. Fear is a spirit. And faith is a spirit. And the one you focus on is the one that you're going to attract into your life. If you're focusing on the wind, focusing on the waves, focusing on all the things that could go bad, focusing on something happened to your kids, your grandkids, or your business, if you focus on that, then you're going to attract that into your life. But as disciples, how many disciples do I have here today? As disciples, we make the decision we're not going to focus on the fear that we're faced with. We're going to focus on living by faith and saying, God, I trust you. Amen. Are y'all with me this morning? Amen. I know it's 4th of July weekend, but we can dig a little bit deeper here today. David was running for his life. Saul's army was attacking him. There was over 3,000-4,000 men that were out to get David. And David penned these words, when I am afraid, I love this, I will trust in you. See, as disciples, it's okay to be afraid. Fear is common. It's normal. It's expected. But when we are afraid, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if we're going to make it to the shore. We don't know if we're going to. We can put our trust in God. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. I sang that song to my kids when they were growing up. When I put them to bed, I'd sing that song. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. Psalms 56, verse 3. It's okay to be afraid. But when you are afraid, put your trust in God. Let's look up on the screen and see some famous quotes. There's some really good quotes I want you to see that really talk about fear, and I'm going to dig in for a few moments on what fear can do to us. If you're with me, let me hear an amen.
Amen.
I love John Newton. He's the guy that wrote Amazing Grace. If the Lord is with us, we have no cause of fear. His eye is upon us, his arm is over us, his ear open to our prayer. His grace is sufficient, his promise is unchangeable. William Cowper says this, ye fearful, this is from a hymn, God Moves in Mysterious Ways. I love this. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. I like that. Max Lucado says this, the presence of fear does not mean you have no faith. Fear visits everyone, but make your fear a visitor and not a resident. And then Tim LaHaye, and I really believe this, fear is an inhibitor that keeps more people from fulfilling their destiny than any other one emotion. Church, fear is keeping you from becoming all that God wants you to be. And Jesus has a question for you today. Why are you so afraid? I think we're afraid because, like, we don't know what the future holds. I think we're afraid because we've never done this before. I think we're afraid because something's gonna happen tomorrow and we can't control it, and so we live in fear. And Tim LaHaye was right. So many people's destiny is inhibited because they allow a spirit of fear to control them. And I want to remind you today, God says, I don't give you a spirit of fear. I give you a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. Let me look real quickly with you just at a couple things that fear is capable of. What is fear capable of? Number one, fear paralyzes you. Fear can paralyze you. Matthew 25, I have that verse of scripture. These are the guys with the five talents, the two talents, and the one talent. The guy with five went out and invested it, came back with 10. Jesus said, you're amazing. The guy with two talents invested two, came back with two more. He was amazing. But the one says, I was afraid. Look at that. I was afraid, and I went out and hid the gold in the ground. And Jesus called him, you wicked and lazy servant. Why? Because fear can paralyze you. For several months after our family's accident, every time the phone would ring, a spirit of fear would try to creep into my life. When I saw it was my kids, the first question I asked, Allie would call, and the first thing I would say is, are you okay? I never did that before. I never had to worry or be in fear, but a spirit of fear came into our family. And so when I would see Amanda calling or Aaron calling, the first thing I was living in fear. I had to ask, are you okay? Yeah, Dad, we're okay. Well, it's been 8 years now, so I don't do that anymore, but it was petrifying. Why? It would paralyze you. Fear can paralyze you if you're not careful. Number two, fear impacts your decisions. You can't make good decisions when you're fearful. Ask Peter. You'll see it there in Matthew chapter 26. One of the ladies says, weren't you the one with Jesus? This is after Jesus was crucified. And Peter said, no, that wasn't me. He made a bad decision. He denied Christ. Why? Because he was living in fear. Fear will mess you up, and you'll make bad decisions if you're living in fear. That's what fear will do. Are y'all with me? It paralyzes you. It causes you to make stupid decisions. Number three, fear destroys your inner peace. Destroys the peace that we can have as believers. Job says, what I feared has come upon me. What I have dreaded has happened to me. Somewhere down in Job's heart, he was afraid that everything was going to be taken from him. That's all he thought about. Something's going to happen today. Today's the day. This is when it's going to happen. I just know it's going to happen. And he focused on that fear. Watch this, church. And he attracted the very thing he was fearful about. He brought it into his life. He focused on it. And fear is a force. Fear is a spirit. And if you focus on it, you'll attract it in your life. So every day, Job woke up and said, I'm going to lose everything. I'm going to lose my kids. I'm going to lose my health. I'm going to lose my business. I'm going to lose my cattle. And guess what happened to Job? What he focused on, he attracted. Be careful what you focus on. Be careful what you feed. I know you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I know you're not in control of the stock market. I know you're not in control of what happens in Iran. But God is in charge, and you need to live by faith and say to him, God, I'm concerned and I'm fearful that something's going to happen to my baby. I'm concerned that something's going to happen to my marriage. I'm concerned that something's going to happen to my business. I'm concerned for our country. And put it in his hands and say, God, I'm afraid, but when I am afraid, I will trust in you. There's people here today worried about dying alone. It's a real fear. Put your trust in God. There's people here today worried about running out of money. Put your trust in God. God's going to take care of you and live by faith. And if you're not careful, fear will destroy your inner peace. How do you sleep when you're fearful? Not very good. Why? Because your inner peace is all out of whack. Because fear has controlled your inner peace. Number four, quickly, fear damages your health. The spies at Jericho were spying on Jericho, and Rahab said this, when we heard the news, we lost our courage, and no, we couldn't even breathe because we were afraid. Fear messes with your health. Number five, fear blurs your vision. You can't see things correctly. Numbers chapter 13, these are the story of the 12 spies from Canaan. They said, we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. Watch this. They saw themselves as insecure and fearful. Why? Because fear blurs your vision. You can't see clearly when you're living in fear. Number six, fear isolates you. Fear isolates you. Look at Elijah. You know that story in 1 Kings. He faced 900 prophets and called fire down from heaven. And then watch this. Then he gets a text message from Jezebel. One woman sends him an email and says, I'm out to get you. And what did Jezebel do? He was able to face 900 prophets and call fire down from heaven, but something was out of whack in his heart. And he heard from one lady, and it caused him to run for his life and even become suicidal. That's what fear will do to you. It will isolate you and cause you to run. There's somebody here today, you're running in fear. You're living in fear. You're running, and the enemy wants to isolate you and get you all by yourself. You're scared what Jezebel said to you. Number seven, fear robs your joy. Proverbs 12, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. You've heard the scripture, the joy of the Lord is your strength. If the enemy can steal your joy, he can steal your strength, and fear robs your joy. Number eight, fear traps you. The fear of man will prove to be a snare. Fear traps you, it robs your joy, it isolates you, it blurs your vision, it damages your health, it destroys your inner peace, it impacts your decision. Fear paralyzes you. And here's a really good one. Fear opens the door to sin. Now, let's stay here just for a few moments. I'm going to share something with you that I find fascinating. Saul was instructed to kill. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, he was instructed to capture the Amalekites. Listen to this. To capture the Amalekites, and God's word to him was, I want you to kill everyone. The calves, the cows, all the people, I want you to kill everybody. And Saul, the Bible says, didn't obey God because he was in fear of what his soldiers would say. Listen, he kept the king, Agag was his name, he kept him alive. And God came down and said, I am not pleased with you. I told you to kill everyone, and you kept the king alive. Listen, when God tells you to do something, make sure that you fully obey. Not partial, not halfway, not 90%. When God commands us to do something as disciples, we have to obey 100%. And Saul didn't do it, and God was not pleased with him. He kept the king alive, and the king had descendants. And listen to this. This is powerful. One of the king's descendants was a man by the name of Haman. In Esther chapter 1 and 2 and 3, Haman, his goal was to kill all of the Jewish population. Do you see what one little act of disobedience can do? Agag, his descendancy was alive, his legacy was alive, and Haman came out of his legacy, and he was the person who was trying to kill off all of the Jews in the story of Esther. Be careful when God asks you to obey, because it will open the door to sin. And then number 10, fear steals your testimony. It steals your testimony. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. All right, real quickly, let's get into what happens when waves come crashing in. How many has ever had waves come crashing into your life? Can I see your hand? All of us. Number one, first thing you need to do is recognize that waves are a normal part of life. Waves are going to hit everybody. 1 Peter chapter 4, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come your way to test you as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Waves are a normal part of life. Number two, remember what Jesus said to you. We are going to the other side. You are going to get there. You are going to make it. You are going to live in victory. Hang on to the promise that God gives you. You're going to make it to the other side. Everyone say, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. Hang on to that promise. That's what you do when the waves come crushing in. Number three, remind yourself that Jesus is in the boat with you. You're not alone. It may feel like he's sleeping. It may feel like he's unaware. It may feel like he's not engaged. It may feel like he's a million miles away, but he never slumbers. He never sleeps. He is in the boat with you, and you're going to make it to the other side. Number four, recall God's faithfulness. How many of you are here today, and you experienced, like I did, tremendous waves in your life, and God brought you through? Can I see your hand? Keep them up, all the way up, in the balcony, all the way up. Great is thy faithfulness. And if the waves are coming on you right now, recall a time in your life when God showed himself faithful and declare, God, I thank you that your faithfulness is great. I recall your faithfulness. And then number five, Angelo, if you go to your guitar, rest in the sovereignty of God. Rest in the sovereignty of God. Let me read this verse of scripture, Matthew chapter 10. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And if even the very hairs of your head are all numbered, don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Rest in God's sovereignty. That's what you do when the waves overtake you. You may not have a wooden leg to hang on to, but you can hang on to God, and God will always be there for you.